The scripture reading this morning is taken from Malachi 1, 6 to 14. Malachi 1, 6 to 14, page 1019 on the Pew Bibles. Malachi 1, 6 to 14. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? If then I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you. O priests who despise my name, but you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar, but you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor? Says the Lord of hosts. And now entreat the favor of God, that he may be gracious to us. With such a gift from your hand, will he show favor to any of you? Says the Lord of hosts. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted, and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised. But you say, what a wickedness this is, and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence, or is lame or sick, and this you bring as your offering. Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and bows it, and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. Before we open this text, let's go to the Lord, to his presence. Thank you, Lord, for this text. We pray for your blessing as we open this text. Lord, bless the preaching of your word, but also bless the hearing of your word. Use your word today for your purposes and open our hearts, and so the work of the Holy Spirit may be done in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this text today speaks about worship. The text today speaks about worship. And we can say that every person in this church, in fact, every person in this world is a worshiper. You are a worshiper, and I am a worshiper. And there are only two things that we can worship. We can worship either the true and living God, the creator of all things, or we can worship the created things. We can worship God, and the Bible calls that praise, gratitude, adoration. But when we worship the created things, the Bible calls that idolatry. And all of us worship one or another. Whatever your heart clings to and relies upon, that is your God. And so, that is what you worship. Christian worship was designed to be a celebration of being in covenant fellowship with the holy and sovereign Lord. Worship is a time for believers to demonstrate their their loyalty and their love and their devotion by offering the sacrifice of praise. We worship God because He created us to worship Him. Worship is at the center of our existence, at the heart of our reason for being. God, He created us to be His image, an image that would reflect His glory. In fact, if you remember Psalm 19, it says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. So the whole creation reflects the glory of God. The whole creation worships God. And every believer must be a worshiper of the true and living God. But what is worship? What is worship? How do I know I'm worshiping God? How do I know I'm worshiping God the right way? What do you think when you hear the word worship? Most Christians immediately imagine singing, as we did today in this church. Or maybe you think about praying, or you think about a certain posture, maybe on your knees. For many, that's worship. And indeed, worship includes all these things. But it is more than this. Worship is beyond this. Worship is an attitude of one's heart. Worship is to ascribe to something or to a person honor and respect. Honor and respect. It is to proclaim the worth of a person or something. That is the reason why worship is not only external. Worship is not only what I do. Worship is how I feel in the heart. If our worship is not in harmony with our heart, then our worship is worthless and dishonors God. It is important to worship only the God of the Bible. But it is also important to worship Him the right way in order for Him to be pleased. And in our text today, in Malachi describes worship that is addressed to God, but it is rejected by God. And therefore, it is worthless. As we consider our text this morning, I want to highlight the marks that makes worship worthless. And my hope is that as we see these marks, we might be able to detect the presence of worthless worship in our lives in order to put it to death by the power of the Holy Spirit and worship God in spirit and truth. So, our first point this morning is worship that seeks not the honor of God is worthless. Worship that seeks not the honor of God is worthless. Verse 6 of our text. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? In this time when people came to worship, God only required little things from them. Maybe a handful of grain, maybe an animal or two for the family, but what they brought to the temple had to pass two important tests. And in many cases, only them and God would know if they passed the tests. What they brought had to be the first and the best. The first of their flock and the best animal they had. Because anything less than that was an insult to God. For the quality of the gift indicates the value the giver places on the one receiving the gift. And that is true. That is true today in our worship. What we see in verse 6 is that in the same way a father is honored by his children, and a master is to be respected by his servants, in the same way, God is to be honored by his children and his servants. And what God says here by the mouth or by the hand of Malachi was obvious to Malachi's listeners. They all would agree to this. And that is what makes this argument so strong. Because God is greater than any earthly father. God is greater than any earthly master. He is the heavenly master. He is the heavenly father. Therefore, God says, where is my honor? Where is my fear? You know that you need to honor your father. You know that you need to respect your master. Well, I am the heavenly father. I am the heavenly master. Where is my honor? Where is my fear? The point is that in Malachi's day, honor for fathers was assumed, was expected, was something normal, was automatic. And there were serious punishments for those who did not bring honor to their fathers. If earthly fathers and masters are due honor and respect, how much more the Heavenly Father? How much more the Heavenly Master do honor and respect? This priests, those who were supposed to be guarding and caring for the spiritual well-being of the people, has reached to a point where they were despising the name of God. And God, the same God who opened this word in Malachi, says in verse 2, I have loved you. I have loved you. So God is saying, out of all the people in the earth, I have made my decision to love you in a special way. And this is what I get for my love. This is what I receive in return for my love. God had to address to the priests and to the mockery they were making out of worship by bringing inferior offerings and treating the whole service as an unpleasant waste of time. God was not pleased with the worship of the priests. God was not pleased with that kind of worship. Therefore, God says, where is my honor? Where is my fear? The honor that belongs to God was missing in the worship services. And therefore, their worship was worthless. Was worthless. And so they were despising the name of God. But what does it mean to despise the name of God? To understand that, we have to understand what it means to honor God. What does it mean to honor God? The Hebrew word that we translate as honor means to be heavy. Means to be heavy, which in symbolic sense means to be important. Even today we use that term, something that is important, we say, that's heavy. That's heavy. This means that we honor God when we acknowledge His importance and His authority, His weightiness. The opposite of this is to despise Him and to see Him as insignificant or unimportant. Instead of honoring the name of God by showing respect and reverence to Him, the priests here were despising Him. The word despise means to look down on something as if it is worthless, to treat it with disdain, with disrespect. The priests here were not treating their activities as something important because they were allowing these animals, these lame and sick animals, to come to the temple. They were showing their indifference towards God, towards the laws of God regarding the sacrifices. They had no fear of God. They had no fear of God. They didn't simply despise the Lord in the way they worshipped. The way they worshipped showed that they were despisers of the Lord. And because of this, their worship was worthless. Was worthless. So the first question for us today is, how's your worship? What do you seek when you worship God? Are you seeking the honor of God? Are you seeking that other people see you as you worship so they can say, wow, he truly loves God? What are you seeking when you worship God? Do you obey His commandments? Do you recognize that He is your creator, your maker, and you are a creature? That you are a sinner, saved? That everything you have, your talents, your gifts, even your material things, are given by God? That He is the Lord of the universe. If you notice, in this text, 6 times God is named the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. And that is really important here, because he's the Lord of the universe. And to seek His honor is to see Him that way, as the creator of the universe, as the most important person in the world. And this is important, because when you don't seek to honor God, a second thing will happen. You will not give your best. That's our second point today. Worship that gives not the best is worthless. Worship that gives not the best is worthless. At the end of verse 6, the priests respond in shock and disbelief to God's charge that they were despising Him. They ask, "How have we despised your name? What? I am despising your name? I didn't know. And God answers, you despise my name. You disregard me. You show your lack of respect for me. And you withhold your honor from me by taking these worthless animals the people are bringing to the temple. Animals that cannot be used. Animals that cannot be sold. Animals that you won't give to the governor because they won't accept this animal. And you think that this animal is acceptable to me? That I will accept this animal? I don't know. I don't want your trash, God says. I want your best. I don't want lame and sick animals. I want your best animal. God always wants the best. God always wants the best. The people would not even dare to offer these animals to the governor. And it was the responsibility of the priest to determine whether or not an animal brought to the temple was acceptable. And there were all kinds of rules here to determine if an animal was fit to the temple. But we can say that God wanted the first and the best. And people knew that. People knew that. If we go to verse 14, we can see that there were some who promised to bring their best from their flocks. And yet, when the time came to make a sacrifice, what they ended up offering was something less than best. It says, cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock. It was the best. And yet, sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. People knew that God wanted the best. But people was not willing to give their best. And that still happens today. People don't give the best to God. And of course, for us today, we don't bring animals to the temple. We don't make sacrifices like this. But God is the same God as he was in the times of Malachi. It is the same God. And God expects today the same thing, the best from us. He deserves the first and the best from us. But the reality is that in many cases, Christians today, what they bring is leftovers. What they bring is leftovers. They don't bring their best. For example, for too many of us, the best time of the day is the mornings, right? In the morning, we are rested. We are refreshed. But many people, many Christians, won't give their mornings to the Lord, the best time they have. The first time they do when they wake up is to go to the phone or go to the computer. But they won't give the best of their time to God. We need to give our best to God. The best of us, the best of our gifts, of our talents, the best of our money, of our time, of our work, of everything. Because if we don't give the best to God, a third thing will happen. We'll see God as ordinary. We will see God as ordinary. That is the point number three. Worship that sees God as ordinary is worthless. Verse 12. But you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted and its fruit that is its food might be despised. We treat God as ordinary when we treat Him and our worship as just another activity in our week. Just another thing we do in the week. And the biblical description of this sort of treatment is to profane. To profane. To profane something means to make it ordinary. It is taking something that is holy and making it common. It is taking something very important and making it insignificant. And we do this when we make God just another thing in our to-do list. If I have the time, I'll do it. If I have the time, I will read my Bible. If I have the time, I'll pray. And the reasons we treat God as ordinary is because we don't trust God. It's because we don't trust God. Part of the reason God demanded sacrifices from the people in the Old Testament was to demonstrate to them that they could take the best and bring it to the temple to be consumed by fire and yet trust God that He will provide everything. That He will provide everything. You can take your best to God and He will give you what you need. And this principle is still true for us today. How do you see God? How do you see your worship to God? As another thing in your week? As another activity? As going to work? As going to the supermarket to buy the groceries? As eating? Just another activity. If we do that, then we are treating God and our worship as ordinary. And if we treat God as ordinary, then a fourth thing will happen. Point number four. Worship that feels as burdensome is worthless. Worship that feels as a burden is worthless. Verse 13. But you say, what a weariness this is. And you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence, or is lame or sick, and this you bring as your offering. Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? So the ritual, the ceremony, has become meaningless to the priests. It was a bore work to do it. It was a burden. But they had to go through it anyway. A worship service that becomes empty ritual because the heart is not in it will be bore. And sooner or later, people will not even go. When you feel as a burden to go to church, to read your Bible, to pray, then your worship is worthless. And Malachi adds that they snort at it. They snort at it. This is kind of a gesture or a expression of disgust. A loud and quick breathing out through the nose when doing the service, expressing that there was no joy in their worship, no delight in serving God. It was a burden. And this attitude, sadly, prevails today in many circles of worship, where the service has become a routine. And therefore, a burden. People go through the service, but it is something to endure. They want to go through it quickly. Do you feel as a burden to worship God? Do you feel as a burden to go to church? Do you feel as a burden your worship activities? That is the question for us today. And we see that all these attitudes toward worship feed off one another. When you don't worship in a way that honors God, we don't feel the need to give Him our best and our first. And that leads to this feeling of burden or nuisance. And we have to guard ourselves against developing a cold heart toward God. One author says, religious activity performed without genuine love and gratitude to God is not only useless, but repulsive to Him. Religious activity performed without your heart, without love, without gratitude, is repulsive to God. And because it is repulsive to God, God will replace it. Point number five, worship that is worthless will be replaced. Worship that is worthless will be replaced. Verses 10 and 11. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. Far from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. God is saying that rather than allowing this lifeless, dishonoring, burdensome worship to continue, He would rather have one of the priests to go and lock the door of the temple and stop the worship activities. God says, I will not accept an offering from your hand. And in verses 11 and 14, God reminds the people of Israel that there is a coming day when He will be properly worshipped. So the question for us today is, are you worshiping the true and living God? Are you worshiping the true and living God? If so, how's your worship? Are you worshiping God seeking only His honor, His glory? Is your worship activity just another activity in your day? Do you feel like a burden to read your Bible, to come to church, to pray, to do family worship? We all need to answer these questions today. And even though Christians are not under Israel's law as their binding constitution, their obligations today are not less than Israel's. The spirit of the law, the principle of the law, it is still binding for us today. Because we live in the fulfillment of the promises. We live after the cross of Jesus Christ. And true worship in spirit and truth is sacrificial. It costs. It cost our Lord His life on the cross as the perfect sacrifice to restore sinners to be in communion with God. We have seen in this text that the source of worthless worship is regarding God's name too lightly. So we need to cultivate our affections to love the glory of God. We need to behold the glory of God. We need to behold the love of God, His majesty, His greatness. We need to cultivate a deeper love for the honor of His name. And of course, that glory is nowhere more displayed than in the cross of Jesus Christ. So, if any of you today have discerned that all your worship activities as worthless worship, I invite you to look to the one who lived a perfect life, a life of worship, who offered his body as a perfect sacrifice, who poured out his blood for the forgiveness of sins. And go to him, go to our Lord Jesus Christ, ask for forgiveness, and change your worship from God dishonoring to God honoring, from least to best, and from ordinary to extraordinary. Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for this confronting text. Thank you for this message today and for all you say in your word. Help us to meditate on these words. Help us, Lord, to take these words in our hearts and to think about them. Help us to examine our lives in order that we may worship you better. We want, Lord, that our worship may be acceptable to you. We want to worship you in spirit and truth. So, Lord, keep us from worthless worship. Help us to see you as extraordinary. Help us to worship you with a warm heart. Help us to worship you seeking only your honor. And help us to feel joy and delight when we worship you. That the worship we do to you be not a burden. Help us to contemplate you, to contemplate your majesty, your greatness, your love, your kindness. To see you as you are, and to see ourselves also as we are. Thank you for this wonderful service, and thank you for your love and kindness. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.